You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome to The Beat. It's your boy DJ Jesse Janity here in studio at Black Hollywood Live. Super excited. You might have heard his music on popular TV shows, VH1, MTV, or you might have heard him or seen his face on The Voice. We have Sir Moses Stone.
What up, man?
Thank you. Finally, we got you in damn studio.
I know.
I can't with y'all artists. Y'all be switching days, man. And like,
look, I had a cold and it was heavy, man. I have
that's
asthma.
Why you drinking your tea.
You know, see, I'm trying to get
you see,
it right.
You try to keep it consistent.
I'm trying to fix it, you know. But I'm here today, so I was like, I definitely got to show up.
Well, you're probably sick because you. I mean, damn the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a damn CEO.
Yeah, we're working, man.
You're working very hard.
Yeah,
we
man,
got an EP coming out this summer.
This summer, we're working.
Well, I'm excited. We're going to talk about that. But before we do that, we have some Twitter topics to talk about.
Okay.
So the first one is Young Thug. Ugh. You know, that Danny Glover.
Okay.
Well, he did an interview the other day where they commented on he was wearing a dress. This leopard. Situation here.
Oh wow, okay.
This is a fashion trend, he thinks that this is gonna start. He says that he's already seen other dudes copying, stealing his swag.
Wow.
He won't tell anyone where he got the dress because it's his style, but it was in the junior department, he said.
So it seems like he's doing like the top end dress, bottom, you know, nice leather type of fit. I mean, whatever works for him. You know, but that's definitely
is it swaggy though?
Yeah, I mean, if you could pull it off,
do you think he pulled it off? I don't. I 100% believe that.
Got to be super bold to go out with that, man.
I'm just saying, like, if it came straight down, it would look kind of dope. But the frilly thing at the end
that it kind of like pops out is kind of too feminine.
You know. So, do you see this becoming a trend in hip-hop?
Nah. Yeah. I mean, they were super heavy on Kanye West when he wore the kilt. I remember when I was on The Voice and I did Stronger and I had the kilt on. And I got all types of slack and flack and everything for that.
But to me, a kilt is different from a dress.
I mean,
this is like Talbots.
That's true.
Like.
That's true. And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, but looking at the hip-hop community, it's like if people tripped off of a kilt, and him doing that now, then it's like, they're really going to go ham.
Spandex next.
Yeah, it's too much. They're like, nah.
Well, what might be a little too much is Sean, John, Diddy, Puff, Daddy, Combs.
Oh,
I don't know what to really call him. But he says, no, my name is Puff Daddy. And it's been Puff Daddy. I never changed it. He says he never changed it.
Yeah. Man,
sir,
Diddy,
we know
man.
You changed it. You changed it many times. But you will always be Puff Daddy. At the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the legacy. He came in with the Puff Daddy thing, and he's going to leave with it, you know? So
he's about to drop a new album. It's been, this is going to be his first album in 4 years.
Oh, nice.
I'm excited. That Push Play one did it for me. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, all right.
So I'm excited to see what he's going to release with this. This is MMM. I don't know what that stands
Yeah, that's
for.
What I've been seeing, like, the Instagram posts, the Twitter posts. I'm like, okay, the MMM, and I seen the trailer for Big Homie.
Yep, which drops next Tuesday.
Yeah, so I'm like, I mean, I like Diddy's, you know, business savvy as well as, you know, the things that he's done in his career, man. But I'm excited to see what he's going to do with it.
It's funny because it's like, the difference between him and Snoop Dogg, because they seem to like to change their names a lot.
Exactly.
I feel like with Snoop, no matter what Snoop changed his name to, you're always going to be Snoop. You know, with Puff, it's like,
I was Diddy. Sure, let's just call him Diddy. Sean John, I'll call you Sean John. Sean Combs, I'll call you that. Whatever.
Kind of like whatever just goes with the flow.
Whatever Diddy wants, Diddy get. Puff Daddy gets.
Yeah.
So he was joking about it. He tweeted out, "Should I change it to Diddy or Daddy? Puff Diddy or Puff Daddy?" So we'll
keep
see.
Keep it Puff Daddy, man. What he does.
Just keep it Puff
keep
Daddy.
Keep it Puff Daddy. No more confusion for everybody.
Bring Mace back.
Where is he?
He getting in trouble.
Yeah, I heard he got something going on with the...
Well, because you can't be preaching about the Lord and then talking about smacking bitches up.
That's true.
So, but I'll be in for next week. We'll save that.
That's a lot.
So last week we talked about Elton John. He wants to get involved with hip-hop. He wants to work with Kanye West, Eminem, Pharrell, somebody. This week, come to find out, Aretha Franklin is actually working with Andre 3000.
Wow.
I'm very excited for this. It was her birthday this past week, and on the carpet, she was there with Andre, and when we found out about her new album, she's also working with Babyface. She said, "Babyface needs to step it up because I'm waiting for him to finish." She said, "So, Boo, can I have my tracks, please?"
So she ready to go.
She's Aretha Franklin. She wants, she needs now. She also said that she's going to have 2 or 3 songs by Andre 3000 on the album. I'm excited. She, when asked what she wanted for her birthday, she said, "I'm just looking for a record deal for my granddaughter, Victoria, and my son, Kikalf."
Okay.
So,
that's an interesting collaboration, man. That's cool. That's like two worlds colliding.
I mean, it's two different worlds, but I feel like he understands.
Definitely understands
they
that.
They understand each other's
world. Definitely.
And I'm excited.
It makes sense.
I'm actually more excited to hear their music than her and Babyface.
Exactly. Like, that's a nice little interesting combo, man. I can't wait to hear. When is
he might be able to put Aretha Franklin back on the map.
Yeah, man. I mean, Andre's been gone for a minute, but he's always still there no matter what.
Have you
what.
Seen the Jimi Hendrix trailer?
No. Oh. But I can't wait to see it. I know he's going to kill that role.
Murdered it.
Man, shout out to Andre.
All right. Well, speaking of remakes, there's this new artist. His name is Anthony Lewis with Billy Bang, and they redid Candy Rain. So you said you haven't heard this yet.
No, I haven't heard the record.
All right. It's a YouTube hit.
Sensation.
Viral. I don't even call it a sensation yet.
Okay.
It's a YouTube hit.
Okay.
So maybe it can become a sensation because it's just kind of the train's just starting.
Okay.
So let's take a look at this. This is Anthony Lewis, Candy Rain.
Yeah. Hey, Lois, what's up? Billy Bang. It's the chemist, y'all.
My love, do you ever dream of? Have you ever loved someone so much you thought you died? Giving so much of yourself, it seems the only way. Tell me what you want to know, and I will give it to you.
He needs to season a little bit as a performer, but whoever produced that track.
That sounds like a mustard.
It doesn't. I don't think it's mustard, but it does. Whoever produced that knew, we're going to get you in the club because that song can mix with any. I'm different. I was thinking YG, we can mix it with 2 Chainz.
Exactly. It goes with that, man. I mean, that's crazy. It sounds like a lot of. The newer records that are coming out, people are digging back from like the old sounds and, you know, kind of bringing that back and remaking them, man. But it's cool. It sounds good.
Shout out to you, Anthony.
Yeah, shout out to you, man.
Keep pushing and see a coach or something. I just feel like we need to season you up a little bit. Next, Khalees is back. So she has this new album out called Food.
Okay.
And you're wondering why it was called Food.
Yes.
So Khalees actually took some... She got all that money from Nas.
Okay.
So she took that money and took the time, because she hasn't really been doing much since that last a cappella situation song and whatever.
Okay.
So she was at in school to become a chef.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good cook, and so she's now a certified chef. And with that, she wants to share her love for food with her fans. So the album is titled Food, where she, I mean, there's like a song called like Jerk Ribs on it. Like, and it's kind of just talking about that feeling that you get when you're cooking. And sometimes, you know, some of the songs are sexual. Some of them are just fun and laid back. I'm not a fan of the album. I really hate to say it, but I wanted to give Khalees this props. You know, she can't release this music video for Rumble. I'm always going to be there for
Khalees.
Does it
come with a cookbook or something like that?
Maybe the exclusive deluxe. Mine did not. No, I wasn't trying to pay for none extra with no damn
I'm cookbook. Assuming. I mean, like, if she wanted to tie the whole
I'm just
thing
saying,
into it, I'm
I would love to try her jerk ribs.
I was like, tie it all into it, you know, get your music and your cooking stuff together and tie them in and, you know, might have a good product at the end of the day, if the records are there.
Well, let me know what you think. Here's Khalees Rumble.
Oh, wow.
It's strange thing.
So people are saying that this song Rumble might have to do with Nas a little bit.
I'm hearing a little bit of those things in the lyrics, but I dig it. I think it's fresh.
The song is dope. It, you know,
the video's interesting.
They stretched to find one that would, you know, be a radio hit, and I think honestly, like that, you can mix it with some Pharrell.
Yeah,
I mean, it's in the genre. The thing for me with the album is it just kind of. Stays there.
It doesn't
really
take elevate
me anywhere
or,
else.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I guess if you're cooking, you just want some, you know, background some music. Yeah. And there you go. You know what I mean? I might cook something good. She might help my macaroni and cheese out. So
Khalees,
shout out to Khalees Food. Make sure you guys check that album out on iTunes. Support Khalees.
Yeah. Okay, Khalees. Alrighty then.
Had that joke. All right, Moses Stone, before we even get into it, let's take a look at this video. This is from your performance on The Voice, performing Kanye West Stronger in your kilt.
On my kilt. Man, the days. That killed.
There you are on The Voice. I mean, let's just talk about it. Team Christina.
Woo.
What was that like when you went into The Voice? First of all, when you went into The Voice, what were you expecting? Like, because you went in rapping, you know, it wasn't like really, you know, The Voice is normally typically singing.
Exactly.
So what was your reasoning and how'd you feel going?
I mean, when I actually first got intro to the opportunity was one of the casting directors hit me up, email was just like, you know, I heard a lot of your music, downloaded your stuff, seen you perform, you should try out for the show. And I was like, well, you know, isn't it a singing show? And she was like, yeah, it's all good, just do it, I think you'll make it. So I just went there and we just performed the songs, auditioned for it, and I made it. And kind of being in that setting, you know, when we would be in the hotels and kind of being around each other, you're hearing all of these singers, everybody's like, you know, singing. I'm just like, all right, I'm rapping. So how is this going to connect? But my main thing was that I was really, really nervous at the blind auditions because their chairs are turned. Mm-hmm. And as like a MC, you know, you're rapping, you're performing, your energy. So they're not able to see that. You know, they're able to just hear you. So I definitely had to incorporate singing on the chorus parts and rapping. So it was interesting.
Did you have a judge that you wanted going in?
To be honest, I actually thought CeeLo was going to turn around.
Really?
I did too.
I mean,
Adam, I wasn't expecting. CeeLo, I was like, that's a go. You know, me and my team, he's like, that's a go. You know, he's going to turn around.
Right.
And Blake, I was like, Blake country. So Blake, like, unless he wants to take on that experiment. But Christina, I did not expect.
I was surprised by Christina because she usually tries to find people that have that vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she likes to go for that because that's what she has and she can kind of coach that. So definitely. I was surprised. But I mean, also, you know, out of all of them, except CeeLo, I feel like Christina has that sense of urban and sense of hip hop and gets how to work
she
that.
Gets
what
it.
Was it like working with
she
her?
Gets it, man. I couldn't have had a better choice as a coach, man. Just working with her, she actually, like, when I end up leaving the show, singing is like now A plus now from working with her, man. She's very hands on with everything, very hands on with it. Any questions that I had, you know,
well, how hands on is it? Because I watch the show and you watch things like X Factor and you talk to people from X Factor and they're like, yeah, like we were there with Demi for like 10 minutes and like they filmed us and she was like, we're.
I mean,
it is short, obviously, because Christina Aguilera is like, it's, no shade, but she ain't sitting here like, honey, I ain't not trying to be, no one trying to be at work that long, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But so within the time that you do see them, like, what kind of a connection is there? Does it feel authentic? Like, you know, how does she coach you? Like, that's what I'm curious about.
I mean, the way that they usually do it is that you get like a little bit of time. It's like, little bit of time that you get with each part, and a lot of times that you're doing it, you're actually taping.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about Christina is that, as I remember, when we all got picked, she invited us to her house, and just was no cameras, nothing like that. We went to her house, and we got to, you know, eat food with her, and she kind of went around to each person and kind of got to know you a little bit. You know, it was brief, but you know, she got to kind of get to know us. And when we were on the show, the only way we really had contact with her was through email. But she was very on it. Like, I would send her stuff, and she right back to me.
What were some of the things that she taught you that now, like you said, have helped you with your career?
Oh, man.
Like, vocally, like, little things that you, like, maybe were overthinking too much, or...
That was the main thing. Overthinking, she definitely told me to just own it. Like, believe it. You know, believe it. You gotta believe it. You can't kind of, like, have, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You gotta own it. You gotta do it. So, it was one part actually in the battle rounds where she was, we were doing like a sing off or somewhat. She was basically telling me like, follow everything that I do. It's like, ah! I was like, ah! So I'm gonna have to go back and forth with Christina Aguilera. I'm like, like, what the hell are you trying to do to me? Like on TV, like you're Christina. But she just pushed me, man. She pushed me as an artist and just made me just develop those skills more. Cause I was singing before, but now it's like full on singing now.
Yeah?
Definitely.
So, okay, you were born in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Grew up in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? Last week we had Lola Monroe in here. She's from D.C. too.
Lola.
D.C. Native.
Sure.
Her experience was a bit rough in D.C., and that she feels like that has helped her as an artist kind of bring her to where she is today. What? Tell us about your experience growing up.
Man, well, I grew up, I was born in D.C. I grew up in Maryland, but I used to go back and forth through D.C. My cousin lived on 17th and D Street, Southeast. And, of course, it's rough out there, and, you know, it's rough there. It's rough in Maryland as well. Mm-hmm. But I think
Maryland does not play.
Yeah, Maryland doesn't play either. So it's the both on same sides. But, you know, I think things like that, it grounds you, keeps you humble, makes you be a lot more appreciative, especially when you come from a place like that to L.A. or something like that where everything is, like, super laid back. You got the beaches, you got the girls, you got all this stuff.
Well, what was that like for you moving from there to L.A. and you went to music school out here, right?
Yeah, it was a transition. Because East Coast is very fast-paced.
Mm-hmm.
When I got here, it was more laid back. And it was kind of trying to figure out how people are out here because it was sort of like gray areas here. It wasn't like a yes or no. It was kind of like, you know, so I'm like, oh man, like just let me know. So it kind of got, you know, you got to get used to that. And then once you got, you know, once you kind of been here for a minute, kind of just, you know, went with the flow. But yeah, DC is definitely home, man. It definitely teaches you a lot.
And you've been out here in LA how long?
Probably about 5 years now.
5 years.
Oh, man.
I feels you. Now, you've done... Your first single was My Moment.
Yes, sir.
Why was this important to be your first single?
Oh, wow, man. it was really important just because it actually captured that whole moment. You know, I was on The Voice. I was the first rapper ever in history. And, you know, I was on Christina Aguilera's team. So all of these things were happening, and my career was just developing and developing. And it was truly my moment at that time. So we just took full advantage of it, put the record out, and we got great responses from it.
And you dropped your mixtape, Resilient?
Yes, sir.
Why the title?
Because after the show, I was actually going through a situation with management, and I kind of lost my management team. You know, it kind of put me at a place where I was just like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, you know, I gotta kind of own everything myself and, you know, self-manage myself and really kind of own my career. Mm-hmm. And just be an entrepreneur, basically. And, you know, I just felt really resilient.
Why do you want to own yourself versus working with a record label?
Oh, man, because you're in control. You're in control. You own everything. And the thing is that I feel like as an artist, you have to be an entrepreneur. You know, you are in control of your career. That's your art, you know. So these record labels are banks, you know, loans, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a loan to go do what you need to do and then pay me back. And then once I get paid off, then you can pay you, you know. So I just feel like it's very important for artists to own their masters and keep control, keep as much control as you can.
And is that hard for you? Was that a hard decision for you? Because obviously, you know, we all come out to LA mm-hmm. and we see all these golden opportunities and you just want to grab the tickets. And then you have all these tickets and you owe millions of dollars. And how was it for you? Because I mean, I know working with a lot of artists, it's really tempting. And the idea we're forced to believe is you need to get that record deal. Mm-hmm. You haven't made it until you're on TV or you got that record deal.
Exactly.
And I feel like, you know, the world is changing and it's kind of like, you don't got to be on TV anymore. You don't got to be signed to a record deal. So for you, why was that? Was that a hard decision for you to make? Did you struggle with that decision? Or was it just, no, I know that this is what I want. I want to own all of my own things.
Definitely. I mean, at first, it's a lot of hard work because with the label, you know, you have a big machine behind you pushing everything. So when you're on your own, you have to do all of those things and make those connections and do the resources yourself. So, you know, at first it's a bit scary, but at the same time, you got to look 10 years down the line, 20 mm-hmm. years down the line. And in the technology age that we're in now, you know, you have YouTube, you have, you know, MySpace, you got Twitter, Facebook, you have all of these platforms to really go in on. And actually, you know, speaking about my company, ArtSky, what I created, entertainment and technology company, I built this piece of technology called Fantomatic. And it's basically a direct-to-consumer platform for artists. And basically, artists are able to keep a database of all of their fans. And I wish I actually would have knew this when I was on The Voice, because of a show with that magnitude, yeah. a hit show like that, you're getting captured by 20,000 people, 30,000 people are all watching you. And if you're able to capture all of those people's information and kind of own that consumer, then you're building a direct connection with that, you know, customer.
So it's like, where did you pull this idea from?
Well, basically I was doing it when I got off the show. Like probably about once Resilient came out, I had a number that I gave out to my fans, and my fans would just text me, and, you know, I would kind of get back to them like, hey, I'm working on this record, or yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I started building the mailing list and things like that. And what I noticed was how strong the connection was versus Twitter and Facebook, because I would kind of post something and, you know, some fans would get it, some fans wouldn't. And then when I would email, a lot of fans would just hit me right back, and it would be more dialogue, and I can kind of get to know more about my fans and what they wanted, you know, just as an entrepreneur would. You would want to know what your fans want, you know, what they want from you, the type of music, how you inspire them, because as artists, that's what we want to do. And once I started to learn that, I started to see, well, wait, it's, you know, it's nothing out there like that for me to really, like, actually do that with my fans. So I just built it.
Wow.
I used to work at Universal Music Group, and I did a lot of technology stuff there. So I kind of just self-taught myself coding and making websites and things like that. So now
fans can sign up for this, or it's more about the artist getting the fans involved?
Well, basically, it's about the artist. The artist has their own platform, and then basically your fans can come to your platform and just sign up. And then basically it has a social media integration in it. So now your fans can actually meet other fans and, you know, talk to them. And you can kind of build your own community within this. And we're actually developing an app right now, so each artist who has a platform can have their own app on iTunes and Amazon.
And what is the website again?
It's fanimatic.com. That's FANIMATIC.com.
And if they want to, where can they find you, all of your information? What's your website?
All of my information, you can go to resilient-nation.com. You know, you can find, that's my platform itself. So you can find out all the information, how it looks and everything like that. But, definitely check out fanimatic.com. It's we're just developing it and it's getting great, man. We got a lot of members signed up now. So, it's really, really cool.
That's exciting.
It's interesting, man.
That's very interesting. Before we move on to new music, you had, your last video was, what was it? The King?
Oh yeah.
Off of Resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look.
Okay, definition of a teacher back, and I'm schooling them all. Just took a vacation, now I'm back on my business shit, y'all. I done met a lot of people, I done seen some crazy shit. Industry is shady, Eminem already told you this. First MC up on The Voice, people happy and rejoice. Hard to figure just how many niggas try to slow your course. Rather see you dead and broke, I'm energizing like a bunny. Plus I got all of my diamond girls out here cheering for me. $1 billion, that's the goal. First we go to a million sold. If you don't strive for greatness, tell me what the hell you do it for. I'm not here to judge folks, cause everybody got some problems. People tell you that you can't cause they afraid to make it happen. I do it to the fullest, nah, I can't procrastinate. Beasting with this music, Tony Tiger said my shit was great. So nah,
chicken heads better fly. That was a funny scene right there, man. You know how hard it was to get all those damn kids to just sit in that store without the owner going crazy? It was crazy, man. The kids were just super like, pick up this, pick up this. Like, calm down. Wait, wait. Let's get this shot.
Don't steal nothing.
Yeah, don't steal nothing. I'll just pay for it. Just wait.
It was so crazy. You have this video, The King. You have kind of taken a break between that mixtape and your new EP.
Mm-hmm.
Why so long of a break?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I wanted to take the time to really develop business-wise. You know, my craft was always there. I'm always creating music all the time. So I wanted to really go back into actually developing the business mind of things and going at it with a different purpose. And within that time, I actually started doing, you know, I produce as well. So I actually started doing music production for TV shows with a friend of mine. And we were doing Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Bad Girls Club, Oxygen Network, MTV, BET. And so I kind of just took that time to develop my business structure and develop my company. And then, you know, now it's 2014, so now it's time to come back out with new, you know, new records, new quality, everything.
And I like that your music has substance to it, lyrically, versus talking about the same shit everyone else talking
about.
Yes,
sir, man.
There's a message behind it. There are morals behind it. What are we going to expect from Resilient 2? And why choose the same to stick to Resilient?
Well, I want to, the reason why I kept it with Resilient is that, you know, I call my fans Resilient Nation. And, you know, it's all tied into that brand. You know, I want to be able to inspire people just to let them know that if you do get knocked down, you can get back up and you can keep going strong. You know, no matter how many times you fail, you get back up. The most successful people fail a lot and they keep going. They learn from it and they keep going. So that's the kind of energy I want to bring around these type of projects that I do with that. My summer EP that I'm working on is untitled right now. I think I might self-title it, but, you know, it's going to be a 5-song EP. Just expect, you know, great lyrics. You're going to definitely hear me sing a lot more on this, you know, so people will be able to hear that as well. And, you know, summertime, we're looking for a nice release.
So we're going to have a nice little party vibe.
Yeah, we're going to have a party. We're going to have some party vibes, and we're going to have some, definitely some substance there because, the way music is going, people want to hear stuff nowadays. People, you know, are sick of the Molly in the club.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's good because it just shows another side of hip hop that, you know, we're getting so into this, like, hip hop has become strip clubs.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well,
it would be fine if it was balanced.
Yeah.
Like, if it was balanced and you had that and you still had, you know, the substance behind it and not really like positive music, as people say, or something like that, but just substance music that you can actually listen to and take something from it. you know, because you still want to be in a club and you want to turn up with your friends and really not care what the person is saying. Mm-hmm. You just want that beat to knock and, you know, I need a catchy hook to sing to. So you still want those type of things. But if it was balanced, I think as a society, we got to get to that point where everything is balanced. So, you know, you get a little bit of that and you get a little bit of this. So.
And I think you do a great job as far as balancing it out. So we can expect it summer.
Yeah, you can expect it summer. A certain time. Summer 2014. We're looking for that. We're looking for that. But if anything, you'll definitely get the single summer for sure.
All right. So Resilient 2. Make sure you guys check that out. Let's get into the six mix.
Okay.
The six mix is six songs that dropped this week that y'all gotta go check out.
Mm.
The first one.
My boy.
Miguel and Wale, have you heard this? The Benny and the Jets?
No, I haven't.
So they redid Benny and the Jets, which is really interesting because Elton John came out last week and made this comment about hip-hop. And, you know, he doesn't care about being relevant right now. I mean, why should he?
Yeah.
He's sitting. He's real
good.
Pretty.
Yeah, he's good.
But he didn't even mention this. But it's kind of interesting because there's like three songs out right now that are all sampling Elton John. Let's take a listen to this one. This is Benny and the Jets by Miguel and Wale.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, shake it loose together. Spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. We'll kill the fat and calf tonight. So stick around. Yeah, yeah. Gonna hear a laugh. Music, solid walls of sound. Say candy and Ronnie, have you seen them yet? Oh, but the soul spaced out. Benny and
the Jets. You into it?
Okay.
Support that?
I hear where he's trying to go with it, man. But like we said, we even touched on before. It's like it sounds like everybody's digging back there. Because that's, you know.
And maybe that's what we need to do to get the sewer system that we're in right now. Maybe we need to just, you know what?
Exactly.
Let's hit the recall button and let's go back. And
let's go back and discover the real music of where it's at.
Rethink of where we did this. It's like, remember Goosebumps?
Oh, definitely.
When you could choose your own ending. Maybe it's like, you know what? We read that ending.
I love
this way
books,
is not
man.
Popping. Let's go the other way. So hopefully we're going to figure it out real soon.
Yeah, man. You got to know about the past, man.
So next we have I Am Sue featuring Sage the Gemini.
Okay.
This is the Team remix. Let's take a listen to that.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Living in cities with no explanation. Stuck in this place, a better house, and it's the destination. Your living situation is the worst, but I don't stop you from leaving the store with the newest purse. Money don't come easy. Shit, and friends don't either. Remember eating on the floor, almost pouring no cable, but some reason got cousin skater. Living better, the family all straight. In good hands, that's all state. They play with us, to them it's all games. But to come.
I'm Sue featuring Sage Gemini, sampling Lord.
I dig it. He's talking about someone there for sure. And I always love with Lord, just the simplicity of the beats, the production behind it, and kind of just really focusing in on her vocals.
And
so.
I see her being the new Adele, like hip hop artist, really kind of going to that because you know with this whole hip hop emo movement that's been kind of going around, like Lord just popped up. She's like, hey, shit, if I'm a one-hit wonder, y'all gonna get me on the track, though. I'm making my money this year.
She's like, I'm about to fill that void.
Right. Before you're 18 years old, you get a Grammy feature on all these motherfuckers' albums, bitch. By 21, I wouldn't want to be doing it either.
She's like, I'm good.
Right. You're sitting on my kiki.
Sitting pretty.
So let's leave this picture up because this picture is actually Problem. And his new single is Too On To Be Off.
Okay.
Off a new mixtape. So let's take a listen to that.
Germans are fucking shit. Take flight.
So many battles
feel scars and riding in plush cars. It's interracial menages. Busting because of pride and raised rough and rugged. My chain I never tuck in. My attitude was fucking. And motherfuckers love it because I'm a soldier. Recruited and saluted by G's. Hit floors by cream. Did things you wouldn't believe. Haters in the hood told me that I wouldn't achieve. I'm chucking deuces at them stupids. I've been
DJ
Where, the crease? So it's a must. A nigga rock that heavy metal with jeans. Baby mama's on my bumper, straight working my mental. Fuck it back to rap, only plaques make you official. Niggas sideline popping, all the niggas is jocking.
Yeah. Problem too on to be off. But see, the thing is with me is I don't know why. I really want to not be a part of it, but this whole West Coast ratchet, like Compton movement, I totally support it.
I dig it, man. I mean, I dig his work, man. I actually like Problem. I think Problem's really dope.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's true to his sound. He's true to that. He stays to it, so it's authentic. You know?
And this whole movement that's coming out right now from the West Coast, it brings me back to like '90s, like Crucial Conflict, and like that
those
whole era. You know what I mean? Like,
which is a good thing.
A good thing, but it scares
clips.
Me too. I'm like, well, what the hell is this going to lead up to? Because we don't need no situations happening. Like,
I don't think it'll get that. I don't think it'll get that far.
Have you seen this man called Compton Menace?
No.
Just watch an interview with him. I love you. I don't want to say no,
is
but
that
nothing
crazy?
Bad about him.
Oh, damn.
Sure don't. I'm just saying, we need to be careful who we're giving my money to.
Careful who you're supporting.
You know what I'm saying. All right, next, I had to just give this one because, again, all right, y'all going to be like, Jesse, what kind of ratchet music were you listening to this week? Low Pros, I really don't know who they are, but I'm into the song.
Okay.
They brought Juvenile back.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
It's just like one of those songs you're going to be in the club and the girls going to be twerking and shaking. And I mean, it's just ratchetness. I'd give it a 9 for perfect ratchetness.
Okay.
So here we go. This is called Muscle.
Let's hear it.
Track, I like this shit, man. Them hoes gonna have to get insurance. Half black. It's your boy Nito.
You tryna hit a hustle? Work that muscle. You tryna make double? Work that muscle. You having money troubles? Work that muscle. If you don't wanna struggle, better work that muscle. Work that, work that, 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 work that muscle.
Low Pros featuring Juvenile, Muscle.
Hey, Juvie. Back. It's always good to hit Juvie, man.
Back in the club.
Juvie back in the club. So it's always good to hit Juvie, man.
Next, like I said, here I go with the Ratchet West Coast. YG, Bickenback Being Bull. I really don't know why it's called that.
What's the title again?
It's supposed to be Kicking Back Being Cool, okay. But it's Bickenback Being Bull.
Okay.
So just put a B in front of everything.
All right.
Which he does that because he Compton.
Okay, got it.
So we're going to go with it.
Okay.
I want whatever he's drinking
straight.
That makes that happen. So let's take a listen to that.
It's that motherfucking gangster shit, nigga.
I'm just picking back being bold. 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 I'm just picking back, picking bold. Picking back, being bold. I'm just picking back, picking boo, picking boo, picking back, being bold.
Pull up on the block like why? Fuck the police, niggas better call the SWAT. I ain't never played with the pot. I was in your house trying to find a spot to extend my knots. I went to jail for a block, came home with a strike.
YG, picking back, being bold.
Okay.
Off his album, My Crazy Life.
Did you hear the album?
Love the album.
Love it? I gotta check it out, man.
I'm a YG fan.
I gotta check it out. I gotta check it out.
Friends have disowned me. All right, last but not least, this is my homegirl, my best friend. Her name is Sensei. She is dropping her first single today, How I Do It, produced by DJ Marley Waters. So here we go.
Like the way I do it, you can't do it like I do it. Get the cash and I blew it. He like the way I do it. Cause I'm doing it and doing it and doing it well. Condo in the valley in the A at the 12. Cause I'm doing it and doing it and doing it well. Roll up the kush, mama smoke the L.
Finna get paid, ain't fucking with you broke lanes. Popping bottles ain't no thing. PYT, pretty young thing. Your man keep eyeing me, you're mad. Don't play.
Uh-oh.
There we go, Sensei. She's spicy.
In.
She's spicy. She's a little spicy. So How I Do It, that'll be up tonight at midnight. So make sure you guys check that one out.
Oh,
Mr. Moses Stone, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Appreciate being here,
One
man.
More time, where can all your fans find you?
My fans can find me. I'm on Twitter, I am Moses Stone. Facebook, I am Moses Stone. But more importantly, go to resilient-nation.com and you can get everything you need right there.
But wait, what's the new social network that we all need to be signing up for?
Fanimatic.com. For artists, if you're an artist and you're really looking for help, Fanimatic.com.
And make sure you guys check out BHL Online on Twitter. We'll tweet that link out for you guys. Also, make sure you guys keep the conversation going with us all week long. Hit us up on Instagram at TheBeatTV and Twitter at BHL Online, and tweet me at DJ Jesse J. Until next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.